sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 184. Marvin Gaye used to sing to me. I like that title. All right. Hey yo, I remember Marvin Gaye used to sing to me.
Message!
Let me try that again. I said, I remember Marvin Gaye used to sing to me.
Message.
Marvin Gaye used to sing to me.
Message.
He had me feeling like black was the thing to be. And suddenly the ghetto didn't seem so tough. And though we had it rough, we always had enough. I huff and puffed about the curfew. I broke the rules, ran with the local crew, and had a smoke or two. I realized Mama really paid the price. She nearly gave her life to raise me right. And all I had to give to her was my pipe drink. Oh my God, fuck. I'm gonna do that again. She nearly gave her life to raise me right. And all I had to give to her, all I had to give her was my pipe dream and how I'd rock the mic and make it to my bright screen, into the bright screen. I'm trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. It's hard to be legit and still pay the rent. And in the end, it seems I'm heading for the pen. I try to find my friends, but they blowing in the wind. Last night, my buddy lost his whole family. It's gonna take the man in me to conquer this insanity. It seems the rain will never let up. I try to keep my head up and still keep from getting wet up. Huh. You know, it's funny when it rains, it pours. They got money for wars, but can't feed the poor. Said ain't no hope for the youth, and the truth ain't no hope for the future. And then they wonder why we crazy. I blame my mother for turning my brother into a crack baby. We ain't meant to survive because it's a setup. And even though you're fed up, keep your head up.
Message.
My God, man. Yo, you know what? I have to give one of these. Beautiful. Beautiful. R.I.P. Pac. R.I.P. And that's why we remember Pac. And that's why you don't disrespect Pac, nigga. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lenoir. Rawr, 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 like a dungeon dragon. Before I start the show, I want to inform you new listeners. I like to dedicate a little bit of time for you new listeners. And just give you a heads up that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. And it's protected by the red, the black, and the green. And the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu is indeed in this bitch. Bear with me. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, Are you an outcast? This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on June 26, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right, just give me a second as I try to make some. I got to do two things. I got to clear up my notes. I got to clear up my. Son of a bitch. That's not what I was trying to do. Okay, whatever. You know, no, that's not bad. Okay, that's not bad. Sorry, I'm making it. Okay, and two, I got to make a little note here. Left. Okay, right, okay. Yeah, let's go. Just a little background. You know what? I'm going to edit this thing up. No, I'm going to keep it clean. All right, 5 minutes in. Okay, where was I? Right. Okay. Again, dedicated for to you new listeners, just to give you a heads up on the kind of podcast that, well, not the kind of podcast, but the kind of journey that you've just embarked on. I like to break down my episodes into three parts, which I call acts. The first act is the intro. Second act is news and random thoughts. And the final act is final thoughts. Okay? 1, 2, 3. All right. In the first act so far, what you've heard was the theme to the Shut Up Podcast. Me jumping in to introduce the title and then share some poetry, which both the poetry and the title will be connected or relate to the final thought. Right? And everything after that was salutations and a little warning, you know, especially the white people on the kind of podcast they're listening to, right? It's very important for me to, for white people to know that they're about to listen to a black podcast, mainly because part of it is childhood trauma, I grew up with white people, you know, I was that one black kid in the class, and I spent most of my life hanging out with black people and hiding my blackness. But they knew you were black, yeah, but, you know, they didn't know I was a practicing black guy. Right. So anyway, so this is me just fuck it. this ain't a safe space for you, racist white cracker. All right, okay. Where was I? Yeah. Another thing I like to do in the intro is share a quote, and today's quote is "You aren't meant to be understood by everyone. You're meant to blow some minds and break belief system." That's powerful. It means a lot to me because I used to take offense. It bothered me being misunderstood. Like, I had difficulty accepting that there were just some people who weren't going to understand you. And some of them might even be family. And that's just life. It is what it is. Take it up with God. And so that's why it means a lot. Shout out to Talal Macy for sharing this quote. He's the poet, legendary poet Talal Macy. He likes to share quotes on his social medias, and most of them, like, he bats 100 with these quotes. All right, okay, this concludes the intro. Now we're gonna jump to news and random thought, and yeah, buckle up. I guess buckle up. Let's do this. All right, let's go. All right, okay. Maybe it wasn't a good idea to have a video of me playing on one screen, but whatever, we're here. Where was I? Yeah, okay. News and random thoughts. I'll share some news and random thoughts. But in this particular case, I don't have any news except for personal news. Well, yeah, personal news. In a sense, like, first let's start with episode 183. Which was the interview that I did with, part one of the interview I did with Habib Simian, comedian Habib Simian. And yeah, I'm actually proud of it. I'm actually happy of it. I forgot how much I enjoy talking to people on this podcast and playing it back. Like, I don't know what kind of narcissist, you know, I'm a bad narcissist. I don't like hearing the sound of my voice. It just triggers my chatterbox. But when I'm talking to someone else, it's interesting. It takes two to make a thing go right. Yeah, it sounds better. L'homme était pas né pour être seul. Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking of, you know what? I'm going to save that thought. There's a thought that crossed my mind. I'm going to save it for another podcast because I'll just babble on. All right. Okay. Where was I? Yes. Last episode, I did complain about how it's funny. So editing a podcast for me, it's kind of like, it's like any work. It's like any assignment, right? It's at the beginning, you're procrastinating. You think just the thought of doing it just feels like a hassle. But once you finally get that ball rolling and you're like, oh, man, it feels good. And I guess the lesson learned is next time I do an interview, edit right after or shortly after, because if I don't, then I will just leave it. It'll go on the pile of shit that I need to do and won't do. Anyway, yeah, I'm grateful that I did do it. And so I guess on one end, I'm like telling you about the interview, 183. Check it out. I would love to hear your thoughts about it. It's if you're a comic or a creative person, you might appreciate it. It's just, I think the lesson learned or the jewel that was dropped is there was a bit of inspiration, like hearing someone else taking their craft to the next level. And I'm kind of hoping it rubs off on me. I was supposed to say something else. Yeah. Okay. So for those you probably were aware, I tweeted about it. Is that so? After I edited, I did the episode. I did it on a Sunday night, and it ended up going to Monday morning. Hence why there was a delay in publishing the episode. This is what happened. I'm getting ready to publish the episode. I did all the work. I put it up. I uploaded to my site and everything. And I'm like, oh, a new version of WordPress is available. Okay, cool. Update. Because, you know, it's the latest. When your phone shows you that there's a new upgrade, you tell yourself, okay, let me upgrade it. Bam, like anyone else, right? And something in WordPress 6.5.5, I'm going to get a little nerdy, turns out didn't work with the theme I bought for the theme I legally purchased for my site. It's called the Livecast podcast theme, right? It pissed me off. Okay, what pissed me off is because it wasn't an easy fix. And by not an easy fix is I couldn't figure it out. I had to go to the message board of the site, and luckily I still had access to the message board, and luckily other people were having the same problem. Well, I only figured it out the next day, but the time between me having the problem and me fixing it, there was a lot of cursing going on, man. There was a lot. Like, I remember telling myself, once I fix this thing, I'm going to go to the review section of this fucking theme, and I'm going to cuss them the fuck out. But, you know, you can't use the F word on a review, can you? But I am going to articulate how this is what I get. See, when I picked this theme, I remember I was impressed by the colors. It had everything that I wanted in the theme, and of course I didn't read the documentation. I just hit purchase. Then I go to try to customize this fucking thing, and I'm like, holy shit! I'm a technical person, right? But it was next level. Who knew presentation layer had advanced technology shit that I couldn't that I wouldn't be able to figure out? It's fucked up. It's like I'm in a fucking monitor, and they complicated the way you turn on the TV. No, you don't have to use a remote. You got to use your brainwaves. I'm distracted by my phone. Someone should try to message me. Yeah. So all is to say, there was this component called Elementor in this shit. I know I'm getting geeky, right? Let me try to explain. I'm gonna force myself to explain it like to non-techie people. I'm a technical person. They added a component in this theme that was just too complicated for me to figure out. Like quickly figure out. I'm sure if I read, took the time to read, but come on. Who the fuck's going to read technical jargon? What am I, in college? What am I, a student? Anyway, yeah. So I ended up paying some graphic designer. I found them off Fiverr, one of those companies, and some homeboy from Bangladesh. You know, it's amazing, man. Homie's English, you can tell his English. I think he kept putting my English into Google Translate, but that dude was a friggin' mind reader. He was good at what he does. That developer that I have was probably the only good part about the theme, because he was able to customize my shit and give me what I want. I'm sure I could have asked him to fix it, but come on, man. He's a professional. I'm going to ask him to do some free work. Anyway, you know what? The second best thing I will say about this theme that I have, because I'm not going to just go all negative, right, is the support. The one guy they got working support. I'm scared that they only have one dude catering to a whole bunch of customer, and the CEO is like, ha ha, I'm rich, bitch. And yeah, wow, this dude is doing all the work. Well, then again, maybe he's the creator. But the one thing I will give the guy working the support line, he's on it. He gets back to you on, you know, usually he's got a solution. If not, he's asking for all the right information. So I'll give, like, the two things I will, the one thing I will say good that's good about this theme is the support. But fuck me, man. There's a lot of crap they put on that shit. You know, okay, if I were to compare the theme to a woman, to a woman that I'm dating, she's like the attractive woman who I made the mistake to not take the time to get to know her. And once I get to know her, I'm like, oh, fuck, we are definitely not compatible. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Shout out to my hetero males who found that funny. Yeah, okay. sorry, I was just listening to myself. If I want to compare it to a woman, I'm like, yeah, nothing good can come after that sentence, B. Yeah, okay. I mean the analogies. Anyway, all this to say that I felt the need to get it off my chest to express how much I was angered by this stupid theme here. Oh, I'm gonna switch something here just on my camera. Oh, there we go. Bang. Okay, and then put my notes. Where are my notes? Okay, boom. All right, okay. All right, now I just switched my camera with you have no idea. Okay, I have a screen. You know what? We can talk. I could talk to you people like normally, like for friends. Yeah, I'm just saying that there's a lot of activity on my screen, and it's a little distracting, and now it's I'm causing it to affect you guys. All right, okay. So this is there. Okay, what about this one? There we go. All right, okay. There we go. All right, okay. I just adjusted my notes so I could see it better. Okay, well, this is good. Okay, what was I talking about? Yeah, I was in the middle of cussing out. So what you're hearing is a review of the Livecast podcast theme by Codeless. And it's not necessarily the theme that bothers me. It's this fucking component called Elementor. And I think it's one of those things that if you know it, if you're familiar with Elementor, yeah, it's no problem for you, right? But for, what's the word I want to call it? Noobs like myself, fuck that. It's, yeah, you know what's worse? What I hate is when new technologies show up and I don't understand it. Now I feel old. Because back in the days, I was on new technology. I was Mr. Bleeding Edge technology. Now I'm like, what the fuck? Why can't we go back to dial tone? Why can't we go back to floppy disks? All right, yeah. All right. Dreamweaver and shit like that, yeah. Anyways, yeah, rant off. What you just heard was my review. At some point, if I find the energy, I will put it into notes. I will put it in writing so I could send it to the company. Yeah, hopefully there won't be any F-bombs in there. All right. You guys can't tell. I'm wearing the same shirt I wore at work. I'm wearing my government shirt. I'm recording myself because I might make this video version of this. But yes, I feel a little official here. Excuse me. All right, let's get to my notes. Oh, okay, so next item I put in, I said, I need a new hobby. Fuck, let me just freeze. You know what? This is probably, usually, new listeners, usually I'm commenting off something I found off the internet. Right now, it's fresh, all my own thoughts. It's most of these things, the first three items on User Random Thoughts is just My own thoughts. My own, yeah. So I just added how I need a new hobby. Now, I very likely have said that before on a previous episode, complaining about how I need a new hobby. I got into aquatic fitness because I'm a fat motherfucker who needs it's like a good intro to get back into exercising. And unfortunately, the pool I went to is under renovation. Not renovation, it's under maintenance. So as a result, I found myself not going. And it fucked up my routine because it's hard for me to get off that couch. And I need a new hobby besides speaking to you fine people. And feel free to suggest any idea. Like, I'm thinking maybe cooking class. I like to go to school or something. Podcasting? Who knows? Yeah, maybe I could take a course in Elementor. Fuck you. You know what? Hold on a second. That's not a bad idea. Hold on a second. I'm going to take the time and say, I don't want to do it. Because last time I took a technical course, I hated myself. I hated it. Course in Elementor. Fuck. WordPress, Elementor, Mastery. Let's build websites. Okay, these guys are all online courses, eh? Back in my days, you had to go to... Fuck. And that's the only reason that pisses me off about this this theme that I bought is they put all this crap and I'm going to have to pay for a course to learn this shit. So in addition to what I paid... So you pay for the theme, then I paid for a professional to customize my theme, and now I'm thinking I'm paying for a fucking course. 60 minutes. Getting started with Elementor. Wait, this is free? No fucking way. Hold on a second. No way. Hold on. Create.
In this video, you'll learn how to build your first WordPress website.
Oh shit, it's free. Well, there goes that complaint. Look, I wanted to bitch, man. What the fuck? I wasn't looking for solutions. So much for that bitch fest. Holy fuck. Now the problem is now can I commit myself? That the commitment is the tough part. This shit is free at 1 hour.
Hey there, I'm Aviva from Elementor, and I'll help you build your WordPress website. From choosing the right platform for your website to selecting a hosting provider.
Okay, hold on a second. Yeah, you guys need to sign up for this shit. Seek and you shall find. Bitch and you shall find. All right, okay. Bitch as in a verb. I wasn't calling someone a bitch. All right, okay. All right. Okay. Now, let's talk about other people's content. This one is a praise. I got to give some praise. Is I finished watching Activist Malgré Moi, one-man show. And that's a comedian, Montreal comedian, / activist. For the sake of conversation, he's a comedian, Renzel Dashington, from Montreal, and he had one of his shows he did called The One Man Show. He recorded it, it's professionally done. He recorded himself and he made it available on his Patreon. I remember I was trying to get information. This same comedian puts on a show, a room in Montreal called Bad Boy du Rire. And I'd really would love to get on that one show. Like, I really would love to do comedy in front of a black audience. You know what I mean? And I'm not leaving until I make black people laugh. I think that would be the cure. I need to get back into... Anyway, oh my God, focus, B. Yeah, so I remember I was looking for information about his show, Bad Boy Zuril. And I landed on his site, and it was advertised. He goes, he put his comedy set on, it's available for Patreon. And it's $5, man, $5 Canadian. Well, plus tax, HST and shit like that. Thanks a lot, Trudeau. Anyway, yeah, so, but it wasn't expensive. Sheer curiosity. I'm like, yo, this dude, I've never seen this dude do comedy. And then hit, purchase. And hit play, and ladies and gentlemen, shit was good. there's a thing, okay, you have to understand that growing up Canadian, not just black Canadian, but growing up Canadian, especially my generation or my circle, is we hated everything. When it came to art, we hated everything Canadian. We have a whole department in the government dedicated to getting kids like us to appreciate Canadian art. But nope, it's like we were rebels. Like, fuck that shit. We were like brainwashed by the Americans. All we wanted was American content. And my point is, anytime we were forced to like embrace Canadian art, it always sucked. Whether it was Canadian rap, Canadian music, it always sucked. So for me, lately, I'm like surprised. We're like, holy shit. Wait a minute. This shit's Canadian? Okay, Celine Dion, of course, is Bryan Adams. Okay, they're fucking exceptions. And yeah, many more. Yes, okay. Oh my God, Jim Carrey. Yes. Well, comedy's an exception. I will say this. Comedy's an exception. Canadian comedians are dope. I guess it's because I know the guy, and I'm like, so I just assume everyone that I know sucks. See, this is a conversation about how I checked out a homie's content and enjoyed it. It was fucking good. It was amazing. I was impressed. I laughed. That's what the thing. It was money well spent. And I never looked at it as supporting a friend. I looked at it as sheer curiosity. You're a comedian. You got art. Let me see what you got. And I think what I'm impressed the most, it was like, because I like to think a lot. As he was doing his show, he's got a unique, I find he's got a unique presentation style, the way he expresses himself, his delivery. I find it unique. And it had me thinking about how, if you're a creative person, you have to believe in your own art. You have to be your own fan. Because I was imagining myself having a unique presentation style and being all self-conscious about it and being all insecure about it and being like, no, I need to imitate that person. I need to squash what I do naturally and do it like them. There was something about that presentation. See, it wasn't just comedy to me. It was also, I was looking at an artist sharing his art, and I could tell he believes in himself. Well, you know what, I mean, we have the conversation, but something tells me that, yeah, I'm on my own dick. Something told me that he's one of those people, he's one of those human beings who are like, yeah, I believe myself, I trust myself. And to me, the idea of believing in yourself is like being able to do magic. It's a talent to me. Like, it's like walking on water to me. That's what I'm trying to say. And fuck you if you're there. Well, you're supposed to believe in yourself. Yeah, you would think. You would think. For some of us, yeah, that shit does not come naturally. Anyways, long story short, funny show. Worth the money. I would love to see him on stage. I would, and it was also, it was inspiring in the whole concept of believing in yourself, and it was inspiring in, yo, dude, I would like to present in your room, because I liked his audience. I'm racist like that. it was a like, nice mixed crowd, mostly black people, and not just black people, and who understand French. A lot of Haitians. Yeah, I feel like that could be my target audience. If it's not, then I'm going to work to... Oh, wow, that would suck. Sorry, my brain just surprised me. What if you suck? What if you're only funny to white people? Oh, my God. I'm like, fuck it. I would take it as a curse. But my brain has this habit of just showing me all the worst case scenario. It's like, yeah, it's pretty much... It's constantly making an argument to stay on that fucking couch. Just stay your ass home. Don't go out. All right. Why the fuck did you hit record? Why the fuck are you publishing that podcast? My brain is not my friend sometimes. Not always. Sometimes. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Again, last time, shout out Denzel, Renzel. Ton show était dope. And I'm going to message him. I got to message him and say, you know, Denzel, let him know that I appreciate his show. And how can I get on? Put me on, man. Put me in, coach. All right. Last item for news and random thoughts It's oh right, okay. This is I don't know her, but I'm gonna call her by. I'm still calling her my homegirl. Life by Alicia. Oh my God, Alicia Boyle. What's her name again? Alicia Boye. Boye. Alicia Boye. Je sais pas comment prononcer ça en anglais, mais Alicia en français, ça c'est appelé A L. Ça c'est prononcé Alicia. A-L-E-S-S-A, Boye. And she's a highly sensitive person, mentor slash coach. And I like a lot of her content. Okay, let me be fair. I like a lot of her free content. She's, yeah, she don't do this shit for free. But she puts out a lot of free content that makes me, like, very, like, she's got a podcast. I've checked it out. Quizzes, course, and more. And I think she's put on seminars and things like that. But anyways, oh, my God. All the information, links are in the show notes, right? So there's this one post that she put that I really appreciated and so much that I feel the need to share it with you all. And it goes, I connected to it. It goes, When I first learned I was a highly sensitive person, I was disappointed by what I saw in the HSP community. Getting warm. Oh, did I forget to hit like? Okay. When I learned I was a highly sensitive person, I was excited, but I found HSP Facebook group filled with complaining and victimhood. The world is so much harder for highly sensitive people. I can relate. A sea of neutral colored Instagram posts telling me to just rest more because I'm highly sensitive. Okay, thanks, but what if I'm ambitious? Indeed she is. People constantly saying things like avoid energy vampires and protect your energy. People will drain you. Excuse me, I don't disagree with that last part. To me, it felt really disempowering. And this is where I'm connected with her. Like, okay, so basically to live a highly sensitive person, I have to avoid people, constantly be on the lookout for someone to drain my energy and other highly sensitive people with this trait seems to hate me. Excuse me. And other highly sensitive people with this trait seem to hate. Exactly. I didn't buy it. I never resonated with it. So I chose not to follow that crowd. Right on, sister. Instead, I figured out how to thrive as a highly sensitive person in my own way. I embraced radical self-acceptance, tapped into my creativity, committed to healing with support of coaches, functional doctors, and spiritual mentors. And when I started supporting other HSPs in 2020, I knew I wanted being a highly sensitive to feel like a cool club that you're proud to be part of. Man, I literally envision HSP carrying this exclusive sparkly members-only card where it's like, oh, you're a fellow HSP? Come on in, my friend. I wanted people to learn they were highly sensitive, find my work, and breathe a sigh of relief. Finally, they were home. Years later, and my mission is clearer than ever. I'm here to help highly sensitive people to become empowered, sensitive souls. Empowered, sensitive souls are committed to themselves and to growing, evolving, expanding into the most confident, self-assured version of themselves so that they can uplift the world around them. Fuck the world. They're dedicated to choosing empowerment over victimhood in even the hardest situation. They know they're here for a greater purpose. They're willing to be courageous, face hard things, and show up for themselves especially when it's uncomfortable. They know they're meant to face challenges because they weren't designed to fit into this world. They were... Sorry. tell you why I'm laughing after. They were designed to be different and be unapologetic about that. They're willing to face the discomfort of speaking up for themselves, asserting their needs, and being themselves because they know they're here to lead in a new way. They know their empathetic, sensitive hearts are needed, that they have a mission to create more balanced empathy and kindness in this world, and they're not afraid to do what it takes to achieve that. They're committing to mastering radical self-acceptance and unshakable self-worth, no matter how hard it is, no matter how insensitive the world is around them. Empowered, sensitive souls are committed to living differently. Oh my God. Oh my God. Hold on a second. Let me get, she deserves a bravo. Bravo. All right. Okay. So the reason I was laughing, I was like, damn, is this white woman about to empower me to be the blackest, highly sensitive person in the world? That's what I was like. No, okay. I was reading that and I like how she carved her own niche. Is that the word, niche? And she's right about what she's saying is, I've been visiting the Reddit's HSP subreddit. And, I remember commenting on something and I've shared this in a previous episode, but I remember commenting on something and it got downvoted. And it pissed me the fuck off because up until that point, I had considered these people my tribe. And it's only later after thinking about it, it's like, yeah, no, you know what? Just because we share a trait, because that's what it is. Being a highly sensitive person, it's a trait. It's not a race. It's not a tribe. It's not a tattoo. It's a trait. Just because we share it doesn't mean we're family. Doesn't mean we're going to get along. Doesn't mean we're tribes, but it's kind of like, it's like the time where I discovered, I started hanging out with black people. I went into high school and I just started out hanging out with black people and, only to realize that the same problems that I had with white people, I was having it with black people. I mean, except for, you know, minus the racism. I mean, the social cues and this ain't a shot against black people. It was just more like, sure, get into your blackness, but also accept that there's a distinction about you. There's something unique about you. You weren't made for everybody. You know, some people, like I said at the beginning, aren't going to understand you. And it's okay. That's because that's the world we live in, man. I used to think that it was my duty to be understood. And I'm grown, I'm an adult, and I'm realizing that, no, that's bullshit. So to my point, what I'm realizing is in my world, in my journey as a highly sensitive person, I'm learning shit like the value of boundaries. See, I grew up with the notions that, you know, you're not supposed to have boundaries with loved ones. And I'm realizing that, yo, a highly sensitive person needs boundaries because they got to protect their own resource. If you have a child, I don't know how you can figure out how you learn they're highly sensitive, but if you have a child and you discover they're highly sensitive, you need to teach them how to set boundaries, especially boundaries with you as the parent. Don't be doing that shit, hey, do so because I'm a parent. No, basically, you're probably going to have to be a bit more patient with them. Yeah, you can't be a parent. You can't be an impatient parent with a highly sensitive child. You're going to, oh, that's a recipe for disaster. Unless they figure it out on their own, but yeah. Anyway, I'm just saying, I think what I'm realizing as I'm, again, this podcast is a journey for me, even the audience. This is the reason why every episode I make space for new listeners. Because I know it's not going to be for everyone. I think the new listeners probably outnumber returning listeners. Does that make sense? Right. And the people who are, and anyway, so the people who I'm hoping stick around are people who can share in my journey, in my journey as a highly sensitive person. Like, I'm hoping that you're going through the same journey. You're figuring it out. Or you got some shit figured out that you can share. You say, hey, you know, B, you know when you were talking about that motherfucker that was talking in your ears? Yeah, man, if I was you, I would have popped him in his motherfucking ass. Don't get it twisted. Highly sensitive people aren't bitches. They can be dangerous. What's that line for Biggie? I keep fucking up. Hold on a second. I want to say that line properly by Biggie. Party and bullshit, Biggie. I hate how Oh, okay. Hold on a second. It was a terrorist. It's the public coup era. Okay, so. Shit. Sorry. Hope I didn't burst your ears. Okay. Yeah, he goes, it don't take nothing but frontin' for me to start something. I love that line. It don't take nothing but frontin' but for me to start something. Bugging and bucking at niggas like I was duck hunting. As we proceed. Yeah. I'm just saying. That's a sensitive person. Nothing but frontin' for me to start something. Anyways, yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is my journey as a highly sensitive people, I also incorporate my blackness. My journey as a, yeah, my blackness gives me a different, puts me in a different lane than Sister Alicia over here. But what I appreciate about her message is the whole, hey, just because you're highly sensitive, don't mean you are a bitch. No, we don't spend our days crying about how tough the world is. You know, actually, part of how I entered or got into my journey as a highly sensitive person is because I was starting to realize that I was a highly sensitive person, and I was starting to believe, and I was starting with the belief that I was not meant to be black. I don't think I could be black and a highly sensitive person. Because everyone else is telling shit like, you gotta be twice as hard, you gotta be twice as tough. And I'm like, fuck it, I give up, I can't do it. Hence, my journey into therapy. So yeah, I guess, yeah, I'm realizing what I'm trying to do with this podcast, what I'm trying to do with my life, and if you holler at me if you're a highly sensitive person. On that note, well, I mean, first Google it. Anyway, yeah, Google it and then holler at me if you're a highly sensitive person. Bonus points if you're a black, highly sensitive person. And if you're an introvert, I just realized it's possible to be an extrovert and a highly sensitive person. How do I know that? One of my homegirls is like that. All right, les amis, this concludes News and Random Thoughts. Let's jump to final thoughts because that's the real reason why I chose to publish this today's episode. So, let's get her done. Get her done. I need a catchphrase, but let's get her done. All right, let's do this. All right. Hold on a second. I should take actual breaks. You know what? I was kind of, I could still make it. I might still be able to make it. All right, yeah. Black Guy Who Tips is doing a live recording, and now Three Guys On are doing a live recording. They both do it on a Wednesday, so one of us is gonna have to switch days. I'm just saying. I'm hoping to wrap this up so I could get on their podcast, especially with my new beautiful webcam and me wearing my work shirt. Hold on. You know what's funny is how I check my phone every time it beeps. And usually it's nothing that serious. It's probably some dude on the internet calling me a punk. Okay. Excuse me. Be black. Jesus Christ. The demons in me. All right. What's up with today's title? Okay. Let me make sure I explain everything. Okay. Today's title comes from the song. Comes from a verse by Tupac's songs, Keep Your Head Up. Right? Links are in the show notes. The verse that I recited was the second verse. Second verse. And the important part of that verse that I wanted to retain was Marvin Gaye used to say to me. Now, if by any chance you happen to be a longtime listener of Shut Up Podcast, I'm talking about since episode 56, you'll be like, hey, wait a minute. Didn't you use that verse already? And you would be correct. And I wish I could give you a prize for it. Episode 56, the title was, he had me feeling like black was the thing to be. All right, probably just feeling like black was the thing to be. And now this is where I get into why. Why did I pick this verse? Same idea, same notions. Oh, well, first I got to say that, yeah, if you do find me repeating a verse, or if you find that, hey, you've used that title before, I'm going to answer you with, yeah, it's my goddamn podcast. I can do what I want. Okay. So why I picked it? Let me, how do I share this story with y'all? Okay. Back in 56, back in 86, I, sometimes you got to pop out of show niggas. Okay. Before episode 84, episode 182, when I recorded 182, hit publish, it was on the night, it was on Juneteenth, and Kendrick was in the middle of doing, I completely forgot Kendrick had done his Pop Out Ken and Friends concert. It was available on Amazon, and I missed it. But, shout out to bootleggers, or I don't know if it's bootleggers, but it was available, I don't know if I'm snitching right now, but it was allegedly available on YouTube, and I allegedly watched it. And I remember watching it, right? And thinking about how LA was there. And I remember feeling envious of the audience. I remember thinking about when I was in Oakland. I was envious of the audience because I realized it made me, okay, I was envious of the audience. And I found myself realizing why I've been resenting Drake, why I've been on Team Kendrick, why I've been like it got to a point where it's emotional. Like it wasn't. Some people have joined Team Drake, Team Kendrick, like it's a sports team. Nah, for me, I felt like when Kendrick went after Drake, it was personal for me. I say personal, but I was emotional about it, and I was like okay. Dude, you don't know Drake. For all you know, he might be a good father. He might be a good guy, and he's a victim of bad publicity right now. My point is, I don't know Drake as a human being. I only know him as, I don't know Aubrey Graham. I just know the image that he presents. And that image he presents is what I'm angry at, is what I resent. And so, combined with my envious of the audience, the reason I was envious of the audience is because Kendrick gave these people something to celebrate. I love when he went on stage and he said, yo, we ain't gonna let motherfuckers diss our artists, talking about Tupac. Quick story, I was in the showers. I was in the shower. A lot of TMI. Okay, my point is, I was Keep Your Head Up was playing. Yeah, I was preparing for, I was thinking about today's episode. I knew it was good. I was gonna come from Keep Your Head Up, and I was playing it. And I found myself thinking about how, did that motherfucker Drake actually use AI? I didn't hear the whole song. I just heard part of it, and I hate it. And that Pac verse, and it's Drake rhyming. And I'm like, man, that's some disrespect. It's like, dude, you're not that hot. You're not hot enough to diss the memories of Tupac. Like, I found myself just being angry at the fact he did that. Especially Pac didn't rap like that. And I was thinking, you think Oakland's gonna let you disrespect Pac, nigga? A lot, some people, two people have been, when they were reviewing, it's like, oh, Kendrick is threatening Drake. That wasn't a threat. Oakland will take that shit personal. Fuck. Okay. Not that I'm an expert. I spent 2 years in the Bay Area. And, yeah, there's pride in their city, man. It's a pride that I'm not familiar with. Maybe a lot of American cities are like that. Whatever. But growing up in Ottawa, let me put it this way. The people who were proud of being from Ottawa, we didn't get along. They weren't my people. I grew up with people who were like, fuck Ottawa. I hate this city. I mean, sure, we got living conditions. Sure, it's clean. City in order, Tulip Festival, all that shit, right? Properly managed. But it's the city that rap artists would come and it'd be, yeah, we'll go to Toronto, we'll go to Montreal. What the fuck is in Ottawa? Ottawa's not the city to be black. All right, here's my point. All right, so I was envious of how he was on stage, and it wasn't just him. It was him and West Coast was on stage. He was like, it's like he was singing their anthem. And I'm like, I wish I could feel that. And I was thinking about Drake, and this is where the resentment is Drake never gave us something to celebrate, to embrace. Now, just to be clear, I am not saying Drake has to do that. Fuck that. I'm not, you know, it's his career. Shut up. You know, I applaud his success. The one thing I will not take away from Drake is his success. I applaud his success. That dude reached a level that most of us couldn't even imagine was possible. We used to dream about that shit. And he did it. When we, yeah, a lot of us teenagers, because, you know, every black kid wanted to be, every black male, black boy wanted to be a rapper, especially after hip hop came out. Okay, not everybody. Don't be an idiot. All right. Don't be a white person. All right. You know what I mean? But I was one of those black kids who, yeah, I'm going to be a professional rapper. And I'm going to be that rapper who, and that's the thing. This is what it was important to us, who gains the acceptance of black Americans. It was very important. Fuck Canada. Fuck that. I don't need my people to love me. No, because the way it worked here is if you go co-signed by a black American rapper, then Canada just falls along. It's like, oh, shit. Yeah, that's my country. You know what? Okay, you know what? I'll be careful because I'm sure people from Montreal, Quebec, Atlantic, Vancouver, who knows? Maybe y'all got it different. But in Ottawa, fuck that. It's like you'd go to a show and it's like, I'm not. Oh, yeah. The DJ would play a local artist and no one would dance because I don't remember seeing them on BET or on Much Music, on Soul in the City, Rap City. If he's not from the States, then fuck it. We were whack like that as an audience. We did not show any love to our own artists. And on the flip side, most of our artists sucked. It took a while. most. I want to be careful. I said most. Not all. Most. Now, I want to say shout out to DL. Shout out to Moonfu. Shout out to, there's a lot of the Boogaloo Tribe. There's a lot of rappers who are like, yeah, they did the jams that, okay, Boogaloo Tribe, I don't think they exist anymore. But my point is, there are rappers who are like, fuck, yes, this motherfucker's from my city. Detrac. He's Gatineau. NCR, whatever. What my point is. Yes, so getting back to it, right? So Drake did music, and I swear the only thing he celebrated was himself. And I'm like, it's like I'm making sense of my irrational hatred for the guy. I mean, hatred for his character, not him as a human being, the character he put out. Okay. One more point. This is very important because it ties into the Marvin Gaye thing. It's really important. I was at work and I was on, I was at work and I was on an MS Team call. I was in a boardroom, so it's fucked up, right? They got us coming into the office just so we could have meetings with people who aren't in the office. But that's another story, right? So I was in the boardroom and I was on a remote call, like Zoom call, MS Team, whatever, right? So, excuse me, you can see the people who are outside and you can see yourself. And me and three other people in the room, right? And because of the lighting, and I don't know, because of my shirt, fuck that goddamn camera, I look blacker. Like, my skin looked darker than it usually looks. Now, I'm used to, you know, being a dark skin, but the lighting was fucking with me. And my chatterbox, you know, it just felt like being negative, and I wasn't paying attention to it. My chatterbox used that opportunity to be like, fuck, look at you, you black mother, you dark skin motherfucker. Like, it was coming at me hard. And I wasn't paying attention because, you know, I'm focused on the meeting. And meanwhile, I'm focused doing other shit. I'm being attacked by my internal bull saying, oh, look at you, fuck, you're ugly, dark skin, blah, blah. There's a video of a little girl getting her hair done by her parent, by her mom. And she's looking in the camera, looking at herself, and she's crying. She goes, I'm ugly, and blah, blah, and it breaks your heart, man. You're like, oh, no, man, black is beautiful. You know, my skin is dark, whatever, right? And I think a lot of us, most, if not most, black folks saw ourselves in that little girl growing up. Because we all had our moments where we were like, fuck, the kids are making, like, we hadn't, a lot of us didn't have, like, grew up with the notion that something was wrong with us because we were black. We didn't have the notion that black is beautiful. So So as I'm corner of my eye noticing myself, this dark skinned dude, this fat dark skinned dude, and my chatterbox is going at me, and it got me so until I caught myself like, oh, okay, that's what's going on. Okay, this is why I'm feeling down. Yo, it hit me good enough that I found myself feeling down, and I remember tweeting, yo, I'm in one of those phases where I need to be reminded that the black of the berry, the sweet of the juice. I was feeling low, and I was thinking of that line by Tupac where he says, Marvin Gaye used to sing to me. He had me feeling like black was the thing to be. And it reminded me how hip-hop was by Marvin Gaye. First time I discovered hip-hop, I discovered it was a Run DMC, Raising Hell album. And I noticed these two black dudes on a, I said, what the fuck? Hit play on a cassette. And already I'm in love with the music. I don't know what this is, but I love it. And there was one particular song. It was called Proud to Be Black. And I remember my mind going, wait, I'm allowed to feel proud? By the way, I've shared this story a billion times. If you're a returning listener, I appreciate your patience. But I'm talking to you like I'm speaking to a new audience. So, yeah. I remember having a moment of, like it's like my new ways, new pathways were forming in my brain. It's like, before it was, I had associated black with shame, black with shame, black shame, black shame. It didn't help that I grew up in a, see, my parents, they weren't into the whole pro-black stuff. My mom, she would tell me about all the shitty things that happened to black people, and, you know, made me aware of it, but I'm like, all this shit just because of my skin? That's why I'm going for all this bullshit? It didn't help that we had a portrait of white Jesus in our kitchen. The Final Supper portrait. And I'm looking at this white Jesus. I'm like, okay, if that's God, then what the fuck does that say about us? Anyways. So my brain had associated black with shame up until that point. I was probably 8 years old, 7 years old, I forget. I was a young age. And then Run DMC is talking about proud to be black. I'm like, wait, I can make that I can make the association with black and pride? Boom, fell in love with hip-hop ever since. Which is why I really love when hip-hop got into that conscious phase. And then all of a sudden, fucking the people who run this shit, who the machine decides that no more conscious, they're just focused on this. Gangster shit. Now, I don't have a problem with gangster rap, but it just bothered me that the conscious hip-hop that I enjoyed, like, got swiped out. Which is why I appreciated rappers like Chuck D, Public Enemy, De La Soul, Be Myself and I, because they were introducing the concept of, yeah, you ain't gotta follow the crowd. You could just be yourself. Native Tongue. And then most importantly, Tupac. Fuck Tupac. Yeah, I'm near tears talking about remembering Tupac. Cause Tupac had me feeling like black was the thing. Tupac felt like he was all us. All of us. Like I was a black kid in the suburb. Right? What the fuck do I know about selling crack? What do I know about? But you know what I can connect to? That rage. That anger. What's that word he used? It's as if one of my exes said it perfectly. It's like Tupac was the epitome of a black man. It's as if he wasn't just the dude in the hood. He was the black kid in a white school trying to find himself, trying to make sense of the society that he lives in. He was my anger, my sadness, my sorrows, my hopes, my dreams. Like, he expressed all that shit, and I connected with this brother. I didn't know him personally, but it felt like, this is why I joke about, like, yo, my Lord and Savior, Tupac. Which is why I think it was fitting that his last album, Machiavelli's 7-Day Theory, he had himself in crucifixion. I was an apostle. It was a big deal, man. Fuck him, it's Puck. And he died from gun violence. It's, wow. He was a representative of it. He was none of us, and he was all of us. Fuck. I remember that rhyme, fuck him. Can't find peace on the streets till the niggas get a piece. Fuck police. I hear ya. Fuck him. Can't find peace on the streets. Yeah, man. Strictly for my niggas hit me hard. I mean, young, Trapped was some poetry, man. Dear Mama was poetry. The sickest psychiatry society, somebody save me. Addicted to drama, so even mama couldn't raise me. Even my preachers or my teachers couldn't reach me. I run in the street and puff a weed with my peeps. All right. Clutching my Glock. If I die tonight. Right, okay. So, yeah. I feel that statement when Kendrick. Oh, now enter Kendrick. By the way, Keep Your Head Up was one of those songs that heals. Pop made songs that heal. Now, fast forward to Kendrick. When Kendrick first entered the scene, I wasn't a huge fan of the guy. I was just, he was a new rapper with a funny sounding voice. And I never made association between him and Pac. It's only when, what came first? Okay, everyone was loving Kendrick. I remember he was a big deal. And that's why I did somewhat enjoy the Mad City album, because everyone was pushing it. But Pimp a Butterfly, that last song, is when I finally said, oh, you're Machiavelli offspring for sure. Oh, wow, you are representative. You are disciple. Oh, you walked with Christ. Pac. You like Paul. Okay, he didn't walk with Tupac, but he's like the Apostle Paul. It's like, yeah, fell off his ass and then woo, and whatever. Anyway, so Kendrick shows up to the scene, and by the time we got to Euphoria, he convinced me, yeah. But if, yeah, referral release, I'm like, yes. Pac sent you. You are a disciple. You are a student. You studied. You mastered. You are the closest thing we got to Pac right now. Drake didn't do any of that. I have this joke that I'm looking forward to saying. It starts out with saying like, yo, Drake lost. Okay, fuck you. I'm not talking to people who are like, who don't understand how Drake lost to Kendrick. And here's the thing, he lost, but he's still standing. He got his ass, dude. He went up against the king of the West, the king of New York from the West Coast. There was no way he was going to survive that fight. But the fact that he's still standing says, oh wow, okay, yeah, your nose. I mean, your eyes are all fucked up. Your nose is like you. Thank God we got free healthcare, because you're going to need some of that shit. But he's still standing. So, what I'm saying, it's sometimes it's not the fact that you won the fight. Sometimes it's the fact that you took punch that you get that respect from. Like, he didn't, I think I admire, there's an admiration that Drake had the balls to go up against Kendrick. But maybe he was just stupid. He didn't get it. But my point is, what makes Drake great is he still standing. That's my point. I mean, my point is because there's still fucking fans who are willing to like, no, Drake won that shit. Okay. But going back to Kendrick, one last point I'm going to make about Drake and my resentment towards Drake. Yeah, this is what, by the way, I had a series called Revenge of the Lunatic, and that was part one, part two. I think it was three parts to it, right? And it was all in response to Euphoria, that moment where the Drake and Kendrick beef. And anyways, you can check it out for yourself, and it'll make sense where I got the concept of return of the Revenge of the Lunatic. Hint, one small hint, Tupac related. Anyways, all right. So, one last point I was going to make about why I feel I resent Drake is because when I think of artists, specifically presenters, people who go on stage, in my experience, I noticed that even in doing comedy, there are two kinds of comics. There are two categories I split them up. There are comics who get on stage and they do it for their own ego. It's in service for their ego. You, the audience, are serving their ego. And then you got comics who go on stage and they're in service to the audience. They want to make you laugh. They want to make sure you have a good time. It's like, it's from their soul. Now, I won't deny every comic, every comedian, every, I'm going to stick to comedians right now instead of all artists, but comedians. Sure, we all want to be loved. We all seeking validation. We all got our quirks and whatever. Like, I will not deny that as much as I would love to make people laugh, but I would love if this shit paid my motherfucking rent, my mortgage. But the primary goal is serving the audience, giving them a reason. You're feeling bad? I hope this shit cheers you up. Like, they have good souls. Relatively good souls. Oh, my God. Yeah. And I want to be clear. I get it. You know, the comics who do it for their ego, that's just their drive. I can't hate on that. You have your drive. I mean, I guess I could hate on it, but it's your thing. If it, because there's some comics, it's like, sure, it serves their ego and it's helped them get to the success that they want. But if I have to pick a side, I'm on the side of I'm doing it for a reason. Drake reminds me of the artist who does shit for his ego, for a quick check. Now, he makes good music, don't get me wrong. But I don't think he gives a fuck about you were having a bad day, you were feeling bad as a black person, you needed someone to cheer you up. That's not my fucking problem. I'm getting these bitches. I'm getting money. Bracelet says you should quit. Car says fuck your life. That's Drake. That's his alley. And I don't know, I gotta be careful, right? I know I'm picking on Drake, but it's his category of artistry. That's what I'm going against. More than anything else. I'm not scared of Drake, but my point is I'm trying to be fair, you know. I'm biased, but I'm trying to hold back that, because I'm reminding myself, because I don't want to bullshit you and not pretend that every once in a while I wish I was in his shoes. I wish I had the success. Wish I was in that. I wouldn't be happy with it, but I'm not denying that what he's achieved is a big deal. And a lot of us artists wish we could have that kind of. But I'm saying, and you know what? I'm realizing that from the conversation I had with Habib. I like my lane. I like the lane that I picked. It might not get me greatness, but at least it. I don't have the words to explain what I'm trying to explain here. It's like I was gonna say some cliche bullshit like, at least I'm happy. I'm sounding like those Christians. I don't need silver and gold. I just need Jesus. I'm trying to find an intelligent way to articulate the idea that sometimes it's not just about the money. You know, maybe, you know, I don't know. I'm thinking of The Wire. Okay, I think I'm going to make this shit way too complicated. The Wire, Avon versus Stringer Bell. Versus Stringer. Stringer was all about business. Avon was about, fuck that, you motherfuckers gonna remember me. And whatever. Okay, I'm overcomplicating things. So yeah, going back to, Drake is just like, not a nemesis, but he's in a category of artistry that, it's not that I don't respect, it's not my lane. I do resent it. Because, part of me it's like, fuck, help a brother out. I'm thinking of the rapper, sister rapper français. His name is Soprano, and there's a song he's talking about. It's like, man, we struggling out here, man, and it's like he's pleading with artists to like, come on, give us drink, give us some inspiration, and fuck do I care about your bling bling? Fuck do I care about your cars, the bitches that you fuck? What the fuck? How the fuck does that help me? And I get that. Yeah, I'm sometimes I hear that kind of hip hop and I'm like, how the fuck does that? It's like having a conversation with someone where the entire conversation is them bragging about how great they are. How the fuck does that conversation benefit us both? It's only benefiting you. It's giving your heart on. Matter of fact, put your zipper up. Man, holy shit, there are kids around. All right. I'm just saying. It's like the line in my own theme song. If you ain't speaking to a benefit, then shut the fuck up. There we go. All right, I'm going to end on that note. All right, okay. Damn, it's warm in this room. Oh, right, okay. Before I leave, I got to give some honorable mentions, right? So I was talking shit about Drake. I want to send a shout out to... there's a long list of artists I could have given, but I'm going to go with two right now. Two artists with their song. I still remember when Cardinal Official came out with Bacardi Slang. I wasn't from Toronto, but I felt like I was celebrating myself too. I fucking hate Toronto, but when he came out with Bacardi Slang, he made me fuck. It's not just respect, but he made a song that reminded me of being Caribbean. It reminded me of when I was in Caribbean, in Toronto. It I connected to that song. when you get on the, you better rip the show or bottles will come flying to your, what's the line? Flying to your dough? Basically, if you don't do a good show, they're sending, yeah, Toronto won't fuck around like that. Like, I love that he, there we go. He rapped about the part of Toronto that I respect and love. There we go. He brought back all the good memories. You know what it is? Drake reminds me of everything I hate about Toronto. But Cardinal Official with Bacardi Slang made me think of the parts of Toronto that I do like. Shout out to Maestro Fresh Wesh and Electro Backbone Slang, because that motherfucker is an anthem. No, okay, you know what? What makes me want to celebrate is the first time, yes, Let Your Backbone Slide was, I feel like it was the first time a Canadian artist, a Canadian rap artist did some good show, a song that we actually liked. All of us. That's what we're celebrating. It's like, okay, there's hope for us in this rap shit. Shout out to Mosaïen, La Vie Tinègre. Oh my God, the video. you know what? I think I'm going to shout out to DL. And his, what was that song he did? There's a first song he did, and he filmed it in Ottawa, and fuck, yeah, that was a song where we celebrated ourselves. Mishimi, down in Jamaica, we got... I'm not Jamaican! But I took it as, yo, she's celebrating the Caribbean. You know what I mean? It's like songs that, oh my God, you know what? Because I got an honorable mention to a white guy, Classified. Not the O Canada song, or whatever. It's his Maritime song. Welcome to the Maritimes. That shit made me wish I was part of the Maritimes. Anyways, yeah. So shout out to these artists. Shout out to the artists. I'm gonna end this episode with shout out to all you artists who give us a reason to celebrate ourselves. Now, Drake, don't do some corny shit. Just, you know, I'm going to make up a song so you guys can like too, whatever. Nah, fuck that, man. Stay in your lane, bro. I'm just hoping for the next rapper. Oh, my God. Before I forget, there's a lot of, okay, I apologize for everyone I should be mentioning, but I ain't leaving before I say the name. Are you serious? I'm going to, Kanon. Yes, Kanon. Fuck, I'm going to play some of these music before I left. Okay, all right. This is it, man. This concludes today's episode. If you got any thoughts, I would love to hear from you. You want to share some notes, share some thoughts, holler at me. Go to shutuppodcast.com or email me at shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. Same thing. If you can't find, if you're using your favorite podcatcher and can't find my podcast on your podcatcher using the search, just go to the website, shutuppodcast.com, and there's a link to the RSS feed that you could just plug into your favorite podcatcher. Now, if you don't know how to plug in an RSS feed, you know, Google is your friend. That was a mean thing to say, was it? Yeah, that was an encouraging. Whatever, I'm keeping it real. I'm not being a dick. Don't be a snowflake. That's not funny. Don't be so sensitive. Ha, ha, ha. Get it? Because I'm highly sensitive. Okay, whatever. All right. This concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed as much as I enjoyed recording it, because I had a great time. You can't tell. You know, it's fucking hot in this room, but I had a great time. Thank you for listening, as always. And remember, please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.